Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Okay. Welcome to Closed on Sundays. I'm in Reform, Alabama at Al's Spirits and Music. And furthermore, my name is Early Grace Davis. And I shall be performing for you three songs. I wrote them all. The first one is called The Script.
This once, I don't want to rewrite the script. I'm trying to fully lean in to enhance me the role as it's written. With your permission, I'll start wishing for more.
About my previous relationship, which meant a lot to me and was different than relationships that I'd had in the past, and I was surprised. I surprised myself liking things I didn't think that I liked, I suppose. Next song is called Our Orchid. It is ongoing. I'm still rearranging it a bit. And it means a lot to me. It means more than I
beats. It's coming through the soles of my feet when I speak. I don't want what I wanted when I knew you. I don't like what I wanted when I knew you. I was looking for a body to turn into. Our orchid's leaves are green, maybe it will pull through. If it lives as I do, that is without you. And I'm sorry to the part of me that still wants you. I'm only sorry to the part of me that still loves you. God, I'm so sorry to the part of me that still wants you. I'm only sorry to the part of me that still loves you. I know this song ain't finished.
That was Art Orchid. Lastly, for you I shall perform Tailspin. This song has been with me a long time, maybe 5 or 6 years, and it's growing and getting better. And we have more and more in common.
Immortal compass spinning, praying knees are bent but trembling. You're more bruised than bleed these days, but still, if it doesn't hurt, it can't be trusted. You can't breathe without percussion howling through the downbeat, trip over the ghost note. You're a stranger in your own skin, a wound closed then reopened, crushed into a tailspin again. Your hands around your own neck, the earthquake twitching on deck. Understudies, roses rotting, roses rotting. Your the upper hand's a fist tonight, 'cause you won't heal without a fight. Your home, it's in the breakdown and the fall. The medicine is in the pocket of a skeleton in your closet. It's still just a size too small. Oh, you're a stranger in your own skin, a wound closed then reopened, crushed into a tailspin again. Your hands around your own neck, the earthquake twitching on deck. Understudies, roses rotting, roses. And
Thank you so much. That was my set.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. We're here at Al Spiritson Music in Reform, Alabama. And I have none other than Early Grace Davis.
Hello.
Long time coming. Just a little brief introduction. If you'll give me the time, I'm a huge Early Grace Davis head. And she helps me. She helps us. When I think about a music scene, I love Columbus, Mississippi, and Early is a big part of creating and maintaining the scene. So thank you.
Thank you.
So this has been a long time coming.
Mm-hmm.
Picking your brain.
I'm ready.
So first off is tell me about where you're from.
So I am a Lemissiana native. I was born in Baton Rouge, but I'm more from New Orleans than Baton Rouge. I've been saying I'm still looking for a hometown. Columbus, Mississippi is becoming something very close. New Orleans has done that for me as well in the past. But I've grown up sort of between Louisiana and Mississippi. In Columbus, where I've been for about 2.5 years, that's...
What a godsend it was.
For me too. For me too. Even though it didn't feel that way at first, but it definitely was a godsend. Yes. But grew up, yeah, between Louisiana and Mississippi. So Southern, for sure.
Well, right on. And we'll get back to early days, but I want to know, because... when you came to Columbus and, like, when you got involved in the scene, when you got involved with us at Munson Brothers, she's such a force. Mm-hmm. And once again, godsend, I was like, we're happy to have you.
Thank you.
So how'd you land with us?
I was living in Wisconsin with my partner at the time. It was kind of like a tailspin song a little bit. I tailspun landed. I won't say crash landed, although it did feel like that in some ways, but I made a choice to save my life, and that meant at the time calling my mom to come and get me from where I was and to bring me to where she was, which gratefully was Columbus, Mississippi. And it, for the first year that I lived there, I was very preoccupied with leaving again. And I wrote about this the other day. But I would say that I had to come here. I felt at the time like I had no choice, and I would say that I had lost the ability to meaningfully affect change of my own life, and that's why I had to come here. And that's sort of how I saw it for a while. But now it's very clear to me that I never lost the ability to affect change in my own life, because coming to Columbus and making that decision and that change was very big. And brave, but it was a big moment in a big story that is ongoing.
Absolutely. I totally get it. I'm from this area, and as soon as I was old enough to drive, we went to Columbus. Mm-hmm. We went to the movies. We'd go bowling. That's Columbus, Mississippi. The bar no longer exists, but that was the first place I ever had a live gig.
Really?
That's where I learned music.
Where
that's,
in Columbus?
It used to be a place. It was Gun Tie for a while. You remember that one?
No, it's
downtown. It's right by the Art Council.
Okay.
It used to be a. It was like a firefighter bar. It was firefighter themed, and the guy that I was getting music lessons from, Dennis McKay, he let me sit in with him one night at that place and let me share my songs, and you know, and it was like where I cut my teeth. And early on, I graduated high school. I had no plans on college. I didn't know what I wanted to do with myself. I didn't know what I wanted out of life. And I was living with my grandparents and my grandmother. I had packed my little duffel bag, and I was headed to Mobile.
Okay.
And I didn't know why. I couldn't tell you. It was just something about it. And she caught me out in the driveway. I was leaving in the middle of the night. And I wasn't going to tell nobody. I was just going to be gone.
Yeah.
And
Who caught you?
My grandmother.
Okay.
And I was out in the truck. I had the backpack, and I was about to crank up, and she come walking out the door, and I said, "What are you doing?"
Uh-huh.
Said, "I'm leaving. I'm done."
Mm-hmm.
I had just graduated high school, and like, I wanted to start fresh, and I wanted to start my life, and I for whatever reason, I wanted it in Mobile.
Okay.
And she said, "Where are you going to stay?" I don't know.
Yeah.
What are you going to do for money? What are you going to do for work? I don't know.
Like, I'll figure it out.
Why don't you come back in the house and let's talk about this?
Yeah,
I didn't leave. And she taught me I wasn't going to go to college, and I went to Sheldon State. That's mm-hmm. worth this cheer. Go Bucks. But I got me a trade degree, and I worked in that field for a year, and I was 20 years old, and life felt empty to me. Mm-hmm. It felt pointless. It felt void of meaning, and nothing made sense.
Yeah.
So I did go to Mobile.
After all.
I did. I eventually went, and I met a beautiful girl. We dated, we married, and I was down there for 7 years, and life kind of fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I was living in a garage and fighting tooth and nail, working two jobs to stay in Mobile. And one night I had an epiphany after my mother had called me. Why in the hell am I fighting and working so hard to be in a place where I'm not from and struggling like this?
Mm-hmm.
And so I called my old boss in Columbus. I'm coming home. I need a job.
Mm-hmm.
You got it.
Nice.
And I called home, and this is how Porch Talk was born. This is how Porch Fest was born. This is now sitting in the store. This is how this was born.
Mm-hmm.
And like I'll tell you, is like, with your songwriting, and a long story long at this point, but that is why I really connect with you, with your lyrics and your songs and your story, is like a wayward traveler.
Yeah, totally. There's this like tension in all of it. Yeah, I feel that.
Absolutely. So, Wisconsin, Columbus, tell me about music. How did music get in your life?
Gratefully, music has always been in my life to a degree. I do have musicians in my family, and when I was young, I remember, like, especially, like, holidays. Like, my aunt is a singer. Her husband, my uncle, is a pianist.
Mm-hmm.
So I have musicians in my family, and I've always loved it, and I've always loved making up songs. And I, like, one of my earliest memories was writing a song about a plank of wood, and it was called Wooden Baby. And it was like, he's my wooden baby. So it just felt very natural, I think, from the beginning. But I've always been very I was about to say, like, I've always felt an urgency. That is true. I think I've always felt like an urgency to express myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've leapt on any like medium or practice or anything like music and visual art, acting like more recently, all of that, I really love.
I love that. I love acting. Like, the older I got, you know, it seems like everything that I thought was corny or dumb or I didn't get, the older I get, I ended up getting involved with it, and I was like, I understand now.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, and it's like
whether it's a musical or whatever, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, and that's sort of like the resistance of thinking something is like corny or dumb or cringy,
yeah.
You know? Like, I've been thinking about that a lot lately, especially with like, I want to start posting videos on the internet again. And if you record a video, if you do that, you also kind of have to watch it. And that's like the hardest part.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. Like, and
that's why this show was audio only for the longest time.
Yeah.
Because I hated looking at myself.
It's hard. It's hard to look at yourself, like, no matter who you are, because like your eyes just go straight to the things that you try to hide from yourself.
I was like, your sitting posture is bad. the way you move your mouth is annoying. You picked at your nose. What are you doing?
It's just all this like human things, but it helps you to build like your capacity though, I think, and like to give yourself grace. And one thing, I love to dance. Like,
that's, oh, I know you do.
My favorite things in the world is dancing. Movement in general, but like more specifically dancing. And recently, like within the last 6 months, I've tried to record like videos of myself dancing,
mm-hmm.
and then watch them. And that is hard. And one of the times recently, I was like singing a song and dancing, and I did it, and then I went to look at it, and my mind immediately, like my eyes go straight to things that like I'm trying to hide from myself, that I'm trying to ignore about like how I look or whatever. And I almost like just turned it off, but then I was like, no, we're not gonna end it here. So I went back and I made myself like watch it, and then I recorded it again, and I looked like right at the camera, and I focused everything at that part of myself that is critical, that cringes, like all of it. Just like I let her have it, you know, in that video. Like just, and then when I watched it again, I just felt, I was like, well, okay, you know. Like it felt good to see, like to defy that part of myself. It's like, no, you're not gonna like keep me from doing what I want to do, because like I deserve it, like I am it, like it's already ours. Like,
oh, one thing I will say about you, and it's given me a lot of courage, and I find a lot of strength in it, is you helped me unlock some things personally. And I would say it like this, is letting your freak flag fly, be you, be unapologetic.
Yeah.
And who cares?
Totally.
Because we get one shot at this thing, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And whenever you like remember that, like that, yeah, we one shot probably. But like, yeah, this is our one precious life, and like I'm gonna die someday. So I want to sing like all my life. Like I want to make every sound that I can make. I want to move in every way that I can move. There was at the Princess in Columbus, shout out the Princess, I guess, they open up a dance floor, you know, Friday and Saturdays. So that I've really been enjoying, and it's a new experience for me, like to dance like in front of people. One of the first times when I was there, and I'm just having an amazing time, like, you know, sweaty, breathless, like just feeling really, really good. And I hear like laughter kind of in the distance. And my first thought is like, these people are laughing at me. And then my next thought is like, no, they're not laughing at you. They're not laughing at you. But then my next thought is like, they might be, they could be. And if I keep going out and dancing and living my life and being myself and having fun, someday somebody is going to laugh at me. So let me just assume that's what's happening right now. Like, how do I want to act? Like, how do I want to respond? And I made a choice in that moment to just like go farther into flying the freak flag, you know, and to dancing and expressing it. And later in the night too, those same people, like that I had just heard chuckling, which they weren't laughing at me, and I knew they probably weren't, but it was important to me to like think that they were, and to move through that, like in that moment, because I can't, if you're afraid of people laughing at you, you're not going to live a full life.
No, you're not.
Like, you're just not.
And that's something I continue to work through.
And I'll tell you, like, just to add on top of that, and, like, forgive me if this is preachy, but I think, like, this is something that people really need to hear, is, like, allowing that freak flag to fly. But also, there was a guy I went to high school with, and his whole life, everybody told him who he was going to be and mm-hmm. what he was going to do. He was going to do what his daddy did, and he believed it, hook, line, sinker, and you know, he works the same job his daddy did, and he lives in a house just down the road from his daddy. And every time I see him, I'm like, it was almost like to me, it's like, you let everyone define who you are, mm-hmm. we're going to be, and who you are, and like, you accepted that.
Yeah.
Like, and granted, maybe that's all he ever wanted, and that's perfectly fine.
Totally.
But, like, when I think about, like, people breaking out, making noise, dancing to their own beat, doing what they want to do, maybe yeah. what they were here to do
right.
is do it.
Yeah.
And don't care, man. Like, I can't tell you, you know, back when I was gigging and playing bars and road dogging the weekends and, like, you hear conjecture and you hear the crowd, you're on stage, and whether they know or don't know that you hear them, you do.
Right.
I hear what they say about my performance or my songs or whatever else, and it's like, you of like, are they laughing at me, or like, is that a funny joke that mm-hmm. somebody just made, and
right.
I'm in my head
right.
too much.
Yeah.
And then like, learning to get over that is like, I'm here to perform. And regardless of what is said or what's going on, end of the night, I'm getting paid, but I am also, more importantly, working on my craft.
Yes. Yeah. And I think something I think about a lot is the quality of a performance is directly proportional to, like, the quality of the experience that
Absolutely.
The performer is having. So, like, if you want to improve your performance and tend to your performance, like, you have to really tend to the experience that you're having. Because if I'm on a stage and I'm singing and I start thinking like, oh man, I think everybody's bored right now. No, I'm bored. I'm bored. And that means I need to get into it. I need to like focus on what I'm doing.
That is perfect. Like whatever you're feeling or thinking the crowd is, turn it back on yourself.
Exactly. Because that's where it's coming from. Like you're just making it up in your head and like projecting it onto them. So, and when you do that, it kind of seems like something, oh, you can't really engage with it, you have no control of it. But it definitely, yeah, like, it's coming from within. And I find that a lot, too, like, I don't know, like, sometimes if I'm, like, out at a group or something, I'm like, oh, geez, like, is it awkward? Does everybody, like, think that, like, does everybody else just want to go home right now? And then I'll be like, do I want to go home?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and usually that's where it's coming from, whatever it is. So it's like, yeah, and which is a relief because you can go.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Go into that and get it moving within you.
Well, I wanted to dig into songwriting, and you shared a little bit about early days, about a piece of wood. but where does a song come from for Early Grace Davis. And I know a lot of that that you shared on the Close on Sundays is previous relationships, inward, and how things continue to grow. Mm-hmm. And I mean, some of these songs, and I've known you for over 2 years, and I've seen these songs grow as you grow. Mm-hmm. But where does this song come from? Mm-hmm. And I know each one is different, but mm-hmm. just in general.
A lot of times, that's a good question to think. It definitely is different, and I would say too that it's been evolving, and it's been evolving with intention recently. A lot of the songs that I've written, they've started with a line, like, that's just sort of come into my mind, and then I'm like, ooh, that touches on this feeling that I have. Like, for Tailspin, the very first line of the song, Your Moral Compass Spinning, that's, like, what came into my mind, and it's called a malaphor, whenever you take, like, two metaphors or expressions or idioms and kind of combine them to make them into something new. And that song, I just wanted it to be full of those. But when I write, a lot of times it'll be, I'll have one line that sort of pops into my mind, and I'll improvise based on that. So everything I make is through improv, like, and trying to tap into, like, a flow of it.
I've been finding a lot of inspiration for my writing. I try to write every day, whether it's just in a journal or, mm-hmm. like, I always try to be working and trying to craft a song.
Right.
But I find it in the mornings when I sit outside to have my first cigarette and coffee. Mm-hmm. I like to hear what nature's doing, whether it be a bird call or late in the evening when the cicadas are singing.
The cicadas.
And sometimes it can be, like, it'll be a melody. Yeah. Whether it's a mockingbird, like, just mocking whatever it heard that day.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, just nature itself, the frogs croaking, whatever else. Yeah. I also have, I love to read.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually read a lot of fantasy, huge fantasy head, but I've been reading, like, more, like, just stories about things that happen around here locally, like snake churches or, you know.
What's a snake church?
It's where they'll handle serpents.
Okay, but, like, in a churchy way?
Yeah, they're in church, but part of the program is, like, they bring out copperheads and rattlesnakes.
Uh-huh.
And
what do they do with them?
They just hold them.
Oh, why?
And they get it from Mark chapter 16.
Okay.
That Jesus, it's red letter, Jesus said that you'll handle serpents and drink poison. They drink strychnine.
What's strychnine?
Rat poison.
Okay.
And their music is very rock and roll.
Yeah.
The pianist will have candles lit at his feet, and he'll hold his feet over the fire while he's playing.
Okay.
Like, it's the most rock and roll thing ever.
Interesting.
And you'll never feel more alive. If you ever get a chance to experience it, I highly recommend it. If you're a guest visiting, and it mainly happens in North Alabama, all the way up Appalachia, up to West Virginia, there's plenty of documentaries, there's plenty of books about it, but if you ever get a chance to experience it for yourself, go. If you're terrified of snakes, do not worry. They're not going to put you in harm's way.
I'm not scared.
They will tell you, sit in the back, and, like, we're not going to do anything to you.
Yeah.
But they're also a group of people who has been so scrutinized and taken advantage of by the media and mocked and made fun of. The MTV did a documentary when one of them got bit. He was probably the most famous snake handler.
Okay.
And they said, well, and he died from it.
Oh.
Sometimes they get bit and they die. Because they will not go to the doctor. Like, if it was bit, if they get bit, it's God's will.
Are they like, do you ever heard of Christian Scientists?
No, it's not like Christian Scientists.
Okay.
No. That's totally, but that's
you
very,
said they won't go to the doctor, so that's all I know about Christian Scientists.
Yeah, that's very their, true, but yeah, but they would be, it's remarkable to me, and, like, when I experience it, it revitalizes my faith, and I understand, like, that, you know, whatever, no matter what it is that you believe, but, like, I've never felt so alive.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I think, too, like, we need symbols, and we need rituals, and we need, like, like risk, you know, in our lives and in our like in our religions too, in our spirituality. But just something I've thought about recently is like the division between religion and spirituality.
Oh, there is division.
Yeah, but I think it's just such a huge mistake to separate those two things, because
I like them divided.
Really?
I am not a fan of religion. I believe religion it tends to create things like Zionism.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I have nothing to say in defense of organized religion as like a force in our society as it exists now. But the concept of being religious in that you have rituals, you have like
sets
rules.
Of beliefs.
Yeah, you have something that's a bit more like, because I see in the division, it seems like spirituality is like very personal, very vague, very like out here. And then religion has become this thing that's super dogmatic. But I think ultimately we would need both to have like a productive relationship with the divine or the universe or whatever it is. You need to have like the spiritual thinking, but you also need a religious element, again, not like already existing, like necessarily organized religion, but you need to have elements of it that you need structure with it as well.
Well, I mean, I think about it like this too. It's like this is not religious. It could be a spiritual experience for people, but like with this closed on Sunday is like, when we meet and we gather here, we do it at a set time on a set day, and we do it frequently.
Yeah.
It is meant to be an experience.
Totally.
And when I invite an artist to come, the floor is yours, and you do it how you see fit. For example, everybody, yeah, you like my mic stands?
I don't know. Can they see this one?
Maybe. Yeah, there they are. We gave early full. We got a Bambi and bells
and cicada wings,
which is very cool.
Thank you, Michael from the Great Catsby Herb Cartel. Also, I found this shard of a cicada wing on this very floor while I was getting ready. So
very cool.
And then these feathers I found in the parking lot at the Renaissance Festival.
And things that I appreciate about you is not only with your songwriting and craft, but also, once again, back to the freak flag, but to the way that you do your hair, to the way that you dress, to the way you do your makeup, it is a full-blown experience. And that's something that I appreciate. Like, you're taking it incredibly serious, but at the same time, not taking yourself too serious.
No, never. Yeah, I've always been a customizer. Like,
sure.
I love, like, yeah. I like expressing myself that way, for sure. And when I talk about, like, music and art and stuff, people are like, oh, that's hard. And I'm like, it's so much harder not to. Like,
sure.
It's harder not to.
I'd like to talk about, like, plans. We mentioned creating videos again.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate you playing at the open mic and just you working on the craft, whether it's going to the Princess to have a dance. But plans, what have you made of the future? What are you writing about? What are you thinking? What are you speaking in the power for yourself?
Well, I have, at the moment, like a collection of songs that don't have musical like accompaniment to them yet, because ultimately, I want to experience singing and performing my music without. I don't want to hold anything necessarily. Like, I want to dance while I sing. That's like, I can see it.
Need a band.
Yeah, I guess I do need a band. Which, I mean, that's something, though, I have my eye out for it, but it's something I want to kind of happen naturally, or, I don't know, maybe I'll change my mind about that, and I'll put an ad in the newspaper. But for right now, I feel like I do know some people that, like, I enjoy working with some, but that's all very new to me. But I definitely want to start sharing online again more, because During the pandemic, I started posting on TikTok and Instagram and experienced like success there, which was amazing. And it was during the pandemic, so it was all very consolidated to my phone, to this app. Also at the time, this was during like a few year period of my life where I wore like wigs every day. I was gluing like a wig on 10 in the morning, and I was, in hindsight, I feel like I was wearing a mask in a way. I wasn't pretending to be anyone else or anything like that, but I was still kind of in this trap of like, there was one version of myself that I found acceptable and I had to like create and maintain that version versus like just kind of flowing and showing up and experiencing like the full spectrum of who I am and what I look like and what I do and what I'm capable of and not capable of and all of that. So at that time too, it was all very, very, very online, which, you know, psychologically is kind of weird. And then, I feel like in the last year, I've been experiencing like, sort of the flip side of that where it's like all local, it's all in person. Like, and I post like poetry and stuff, but I haven't been posting things on TikTok or anything like that in a minute. And I've just been, but so now I've kind of got these two worlds and I want to bring them back together. So I'm figuring out in a way too, like, cause I've also have unchanged my name, and that's a big thing too, because I had my artist name, Kid Pixie. And then I also had my name, Ksenia, for 7 years. And now it's like, I want to reintroduce myself, or introduce myself maybe rather. And I have my eye out for like exactly how I want to do that. And I feel as though this could be a part of it as well. And I'm getting close to it, but I can't see it perfectly yet.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And when it comes to like locality or real life versus internet,
yeah,
I totally get that. And like whether it's Porch Talk, that's online.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and we love our heads. We love the community, and like we're glad that you could be listening to anything else, but you give us your time, you watch, you listen, and we love that. But like Porch Fest is where rubber meets highway.
Mm-hmm.
That's real. It physically exists at Munson Brothers, and like we get to see who we're working with. And
right.
And it's also a celebration of our musicians and comedians who have come on Porch Talk. And it's like, all right, everybody.
Yeah.
We're meeting, we're coming together, and you see what you got.
Right. Totally.
And so like that's cool.
Yeah, bringing the worlds together.
Yeah. It's important, man. Like
definitely.
I've been very online for a while and doing that for a long time. And one thing that I was always concerned with is how does this translate? Not necessarily monetarily,
mm-hmm.
but I was like, can we have a real world experience? Can we can we gather? Can we have a good time?
Yes. Yeah. And I've learned too that like that is what sustains me. Cause like I really loved I really, really enjoyed like posting and sharing, and also just like seeing people like do covers and seeing people like use my song in other videos and stuff like that. Like very, very exciting. But then it also felt like this, even though like I know it's like they're real people, like something is really happening, but it's also like if I lose my phone, then like does this exist for me at all anymore? And yeah, so I guess I just kind of had to step away from that for a while. Also, while I was like, I was bouncing all over the country, like, because a lot of this stuff, it's like having a stable environment to sort of work on things and to have enough of a homeostasis going where you can really build something.
Sure.
Like that you don't have to tear down. And I feel like I'm there now. So I've been laying foundation.
I wanted to ask you about this. This is a tangent that we've been kind of circling around for about a month here on the show is validation.
Okay.
Of like struggles with it, dealing with it, self-validation, Validation from others. Learning it's not important. Learning it's it messes with you to a point to where you want to curl up in a ball and just pass away. Like,
yeah.
What is validation?
What is validation?
Yeah. And do you have struggles with it?
Certainly. The first thing that comes to mind, like, as far as what is validation, ideally I think it's like it's feeling heard, like, and received,
understood.
Yeah, exactly. But then also, like, validation can come in the form of, like, praise and, like, flattery and that kind of thing too.
Someone covering your soul.
Yeah, totally.
Nothing feels cooler than that, right?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Definitely. And I think it's important, like, you can't, like, because we all know, like, you can't identify with, like, the negative things that people say about you too much. Like, you can't identify with them. But it's, at times it's also important not to, like, you can receive the positive things that people say to you, but if you start to really identify with it too hard, like, if it becomes, like, if you stake, like, if it becomes, it's kind of like a kid growing up being told that they're smart, and then you kind of develop a complex where it's like, oh, I'm smart, I better be smart, like, I have to be smarter, I'm not anything. Like, you can get that way with anything. So it's like having like a spiritual component to, like, how you view the
sure.
creative process, and also how you view sharing, can really help you avoid, like, some of the traps that exist within validation and within praise and all of that, because it's a very beautiful thing to be heard and to be validated, but there will also be times where no one's listening to you and no one's validating you. So cultivating a relationship with yourself, with the part of yourself that is always just kind of watching, like, your observer, is kind of one way to conceive of it that I really like. And cultivating that relationship so that you can grow, like, what you need to sustain you within, and then everything else you can accept it, like, as it comes, and you
sure.
can be there for it without getting weird about it.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it's easy to get weird about it.
And I mean, that was one thing that I was getting in my own way of, and that's the best way to put it, was for a while, and J.C. Long, dear friend of mine, was the guy that finally got me out of that slump I was in.
Yeah.
I keep a guitar next to my desk at home. It's where I do all my writing. It's where all my creativity flows. It's where pen hits paper.
Right.
It's where my fingers hit the strings. And for the longest time, I did not have it in me to pick up a guitar. The only time I would play guitar would be on Munson stage at the open mic.
Yeah.
Thankfully, gracefully, that I had venues reaching out wanting to book me again.
Nice.
And I was telling them no.
Okay.
I didn't have it in me.
Yeah.
And still don't. Like, I'm not gigging this year. Like, mm-hmm. I took this whole year off. Like, the open mic is my baby. We're doing that. We're nurturing that.
Yeah.
Will I play next year? I don't know. But one day, JC called me because he was upset with me. He was like, you play music over at my house. You play music at your house. You do the open mic. And he was like, not telling you what you should do, but you should do more. And he was like, get out of your own way and quit worrying about what everybody else thinks. You don't need validation.
Mm-hmm.
You're good. Your songs are good. Play them.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
So hard to do.
It is. Well, that kind of goes back to, like, at the beginning of our conversation, we were talking about, like, the quality of your performance and the experience that you have. And, like, if you're focused on the experience that you're having, and if you're, like, and that's part of why, for me, it's so important, like, to write things that really, really mean something to me. Like the all the words are really important, and melodies as well, but, like, I can't abide, like, any, like, filler words in my songs. Like, I'll do it sometimes when I'm writing and I'm like, okay, I'm going to put something else there. And sometimes I'll do that, and then what I thought was a filler phrase turns out to not be. I'll be like, oh, wait, that actually means something.
That's the hook.
But, right. But, yeah, with the validation, because if you're focusing on your experience, like, that you're having, then, like, the experience is
the reward in and of itself.
Yes.
Like, no matter what anyone tells you about the performance that you gave, like, you have the experience. And that's, like, that I think is very, very, very powerful.
Influences. What influenced you to start writing, and who would you say has inspired you to kind of, like, hone and craft, like, your style, your music, the get up?
Well, I listen to a lot of different music. Especially, like, during the TikTok days, like, pandemic days, I still listen to folk punk, but I was, like, really exclusively listening to folk punk.
I'm so,
like,
a ska punk head.
Yeah, word. I like ska. I like anything with, like, horns. I really like that. I have some songs that I've been working on that I know I need to get a trumpet. That's on my list. I'm drawn to music that is, like, earnest, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, something that, yeah. I listen to a lot of the Mountain Goats. I think they do that really, really, really well.
Oh,
like the storytelling.
That band comes around here a lot.
Really?
Like, on the show, a lot of people reference them.
That's cool. I'm going to see them like in 2 weeks, and I've never seen them before.
Where are you gonna see them?
In Atlanta.
Very
at
cool.
The Variety Playhouse. Yeah.
Great venue.
And it's an evening with the Mountain Goats.
Oh.
So I'm extra excited. It's my sibling's birthday a few days before that, and they love them as well. So.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah, I love the Mountain Goats. I don't know. There's a lot. There's not, like, a short list of artists. The Mountain Goats are fresh in my mind because I've been binging their discography. It's like 32 albums. Like, it's crazy.
Prolific.
Yes, absolutely. Another thing that came to mind is Lady Lamb. Some of her songs, especially, she has a song called Crane Your Neck, and there's a part in it where she, like, it's just very dynamic. Like, it changes tempo-wise, and there's a part where she yells, and it's just very emotional. Like, and I listen to, like, instrumental music some too. My September playlist starts with a real nice jazz song. So it'd be a really long list. I'd have to, like, pull out my playlist.
I think you covered it.
I also really like Why. It's very, like, interesting poetic lyrics that kind of, like, layer on top of each other. And I love lyricists who will say something in an unusual way. I like saying things in unusual ways.
I think it goes back to the, I don't remember the exact word for the definition, but it's light metaphor. You mentioned...
Oh, malaphor.
Malaphors.
Yeah. Malaphors.
Huge on that.
Yeah. Me too.
And another great thing, like, and I think it's very Southern, I'm not saying this is the only place it exists, but Southern songwriters, because we have such a way of saying things, and it happens like this everywhere. Like I said, it's not unique, but when a Southern mama says, bless your heart, that ain't what it means. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
It's all in the delivery, for sure.
Well, very cool. Well, Early, I want to ask three more questions,
okay,
and we'll wrap this up. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you.
Number one is, for those out there in the world, if they would like to follow and keep up with what you have going on, where is the best way to do that?
Best way right now is probably Instagram. I'm on Instagram as Nobody Shakes Baby. You could also search Early Grace Davis on there and it will pop up. If you would like to follow me on TikTok, it is Prince Kid Pixie. I haven't posted on there in 3-4 years, but I think I will again soon. And I also have a YouTube channel, which I haven't posted on in quite a while, but I'm gonna do it soon. And that's Early Grace Davis as well, I believe. And yeah, that's all my things.
Very cool. Traveling, you've done quite a bit of it.
Yes.
I would like to know, favorite place you've ever been and a place that you haven't been yet but you want to go see?
Okay, the first thing that popped in my mind was Halifax in Nova Scotia, because it was like a cold, rocky, snowy, icy beach, and I really liked that. I really loved Madison, Wisconsin. I really did.
Shout out to Nooski.
A place, I really want to go to Ireland really bad. I've always wanted to go to Ireland. I want to go to Ireland and talk to the fairies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that kind of leads up into it with the last one, and I kind of get the feel, the vibe of it is we have Fay Fest coming up, Columbus, but also you and mutual friends of mine just got back from going to a kind of a Renaissance thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I love seeing y'all in that element. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just y'all's thing, dude.
That's really cool.
How'd you get into it?
Well, I attended the Louisiana Ren Fair when I was a kid, and then when I was 16, I got a job there, or 17, I got a job there selling roses, and it was awesome to just walk around in a basket. And my good friend Kai is my boss there, and so that was how it started. I worked there a few years. I was going to work fair in Arizona, and I went to Texas and worked a couple of fairs there. I thought I was going to do that forever when I was like 16, 17, 18, but it did not end up happening. So this last few weeks ago was actually the first time I'd been back in that element in quite a while. And it was really interesting, like, walking around the fair, because I felt like I wasn't working, so I wasn't like one of the people on that side of it, but I also didn't totally feel like a normal patron. Like I felt like, I don't know.
Somewhere in the middle.
Yes, exactly. But I love like to play, and I love like to see people like making a point and like honoring play, and I see the Ren Fair as like a good example of that sometimes, like, and I remember too going when I was like a young teenager, and I just felt like, oh, I can be as magical as I really am in this place. I don't have to like tamp it down, I don't have to temper it, like I can just walk around like. But now I'm realizing the whole world is like that. Like, I mean, it's not as kind or accommodating, but the whole, like, free will, baby. Like, you can do that. You can be as magical as you really are everywhere. And that's what I'm trying to be. But the Renaissance Festival was one of the first environments where I felt, free in a way.
Wow. That's a great way to close it out. I mean, that is just a great takeaway is, like, I consider you to be somebody who is unapologetic.
Thank you.
And someone who is not ashamed of who they are.
Thank you.
I wish that for everyone.
Me too. That after the songwriting competition on the 30th, I was talking to one of the reporters from the newspaper, and he asked me to describe my style, like my performance style. And I, like, in a word. And I thought for a minute, because I didn't know what I was going to say. But what came out, what I said, was shameless. And that felt and continues to feel so good and true and powerful. Like, it just hits me. And that's what I want. And that's the thing, is like the experience of the performer, like, that is the performance. And also, when you see someone have an experience, there's a part of you that gets to experience it as well. And that's why performing is a gift. And so if I can find it in myself to be shameless and to be witnessed shameless, then I can take away some shame from the world if I do that enough.
And I know I've told you, but I can't tell you how much you empower me and how much strength and courage you give me just through that.
Thank you.
I think that is, like, that is the number one thing that I wanted to capture with this interview, is just that, is you can be unapologetic. You can be shameless.
Yes.
And especially if it's artistic, man, let your freak flag fly,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, let it go.
Let's see who you are, huh?
Shameless, baby.
And that is a good close. Ain't nobody gonna shake, baby. Thank y'all.
Huzzah!
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only. Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.